Romans 1, verses 24 to 28. Gave them up. In my opinion, the section before us tonight is one of the scariest, one of the most terrifying, and it should be one of the most thought-provoking sections to you in the Scriptures. So far in our studies, we have seen what man has done and his rebellion against God. In verse 18, we saw that man suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. In verse 21, we saw that although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful. They didn't glorify God. They weren't thankful. They suppressed the truth. In verse 22, they professed to be wise. And in verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. Not thankful. Didn't glorify God. Became foolish. They changed the glory of God. They suppressed the truth and righteousness. We have seen what man has done. Now we will see God's response. For you who would think that you could suppress the truth, that you don't have to glorify God, that you need not be thankful to God, that there's no consequences. What we see in our text tonight, there is consequences. And those consequences should absolutely terrify you. The consequences that we will see tonight should grab you by the throat and cause you to fall down before God and worship Him. In verse 24, therefore God also gave them up. Gave them up to uncleanness. God's response to not glorifying Him, not being thankful to Him, suppressing the truth and unrighteousness is this. God gave them up to uncleanness. In verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. God gave them up to first uncleanness. And then it says, God gave them up to vile passions. Gave them up. God gives men and women up. And look in verse 28. And realize this. This is the third time that Paul is emphasizing this fact. When you look at the world around you and say, wow, this world is really bad. This world is really spinning out of control. People in this world are really crazy. People in this world, well, that's because you want to suppress the truth and unrighteousness. You want to not be thankful to God. You don't want to glorify God. You profess to be wise, and God says you're a fool. It says He first turns them over to uncleanness. Then He turns them over to vile passions. And in verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. A debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. You talk about downhill. You talk about the slippery slope straight into the pit of hell. So much for the concept of humanism. That man is somehow rising up into this glorious creature. The Bible says just the opposite. If you will not be thankful to God, if you will not glorify God, if you will suppress the truth in unrighteousness, it says God gave them over. Man has wanted to get rid of God. Now, his wish has come true. God gave them up. Gave them over. Notice God gave them up or gave them over. He didn't give them up to nothingness, though. See, we want God to leave us alone. Leave me alone so I can fulfill my own desires, I can fulfill my own lusts, I can fulfill whatever I want to do. So somehow we think that if we say no to God, excuse me, God, but I'm going to live my life for myself, that somehow that God is just going to give you up, give you over to nothingness. Somehow like he just would let a pitcher go. Right? Give him up as a pitcher. Like if you drop a glass pitcher, what's going to happen? Something is going to happen. It's not just God gave them up and the glass pitcher stands still in the air. The glass pitcher crashes to the ground. The glass pitcher is giving over to what? A depraved mind, to uncleanness. Scary. God gave them up. God gives them up to the consequences of their sinful direction. When God lets go of us, we begin our downhill slide. He gives them up to uncleanness. He gives them up to vile passions. And he gives them over to a debased mind. A debased mind. We see a little of this in the book of Jonah. See, once you leave God, you always go down. You don't go up. That's why I tell people, if you don't want to be discipled, if you want to walk away from the Lord, you're going down. You're going down. You're always going down. You're not getting some kind of freedom. You're going down. As we see in Jonah. Jonah went down. Turn to Jonah. You see that Jonah progression is always going down. It is not just neutral. You can't be in neutral with God. You go down. We see in Jonah 1, verses 3 and 5. Jonah 1. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Notice, he arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I want to do my own thing, Lord. I don't want to listen to you. I want to do my own thing. He arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Notice, he went down. He went down to Joppa. He went down to Joppa. How many people start off and they go down to Joppa? But then after you go down to Joppa and he found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare. See, kind of sounds like the prodigal. Took his inheritance, went down. He went out. See, here's Jonah. He goes down to Joppa, finds the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down. He went down into it. You want to have God, so he gives you over to uncleanness. He gives you over to a debased mind. He gives you over to vile passions. Jonah went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. And notice, in verse 5, then the mariners were afraid. And this is when all the judgment starts coming upon them, all the tribulation. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship. That's what you see in Romans 1. First thing, he gave them up to uncleanness. Second thing is he gave them up to vile passions. And the third thing is he gave them up to a debased mind. A debased mind. Jonah went down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down and was fast asleep. It's funny, when we walk away from the Lord, we go down and we become so taken over by our sin that we fall asleep. We don't even realize. All of a sudden, it's like, what happened? How did this happen? Because you first went down to Joppa, then you went down into the ship, then you went down into the lowest parts of the ship. And it's always that way. When people walk away from the Lord, they go down. And look at Jonah 2, verse 6. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever, yet you have brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. He had gone down to the foundations or the bases of the mountains. He went all the way down, and yet the Lord had mercy. He went down. Back to Romans 1:24. The downhill spiral. He went down. They go down. Romans 1:24. First of all, dishonor their bodies. Dishonor their bodies. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor the bodies amongst themselves. Uncleanness, lust, sex out of control, outside of marriage, every kind of perversion known to man, hedonism. That's what we got there. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor themselves. Sex outside of marriage, it doesn't matter. Teenagers, young adults, old people, people not married, people with 5 partners, 10 partners, 20 partners, 50 partners, 100 partners, all kinds of sex, masturbation, every kind of thing that you could imagine in the lust of their hearts. God gave them up. You see it in America. You see it all throughout the world. You see it on the TV. You hear of it on the radio. You see it on the billboards, in the newspapers, in the magazines. They airbrush sexual images out the magazines and sell them right in the supermarket at the checkout counter. With subliminal messages, they have people buy the stuff. God gave them up. You don't want to glorify me. You don't want to be thankful to me. You want to suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And God gave them up to uncleanness. You turn on the TV sets, and the more wicked that you are, the more sexually promiscuous, the more out of control you are, if it doesn't matter. You get the most ratings with the most out of control people. And what is was once never spoken of is now glorified. Oh, she's having a baby. She's having a baby with a boyfriend. That's the top news story. There's no shame, as it said, I believe, in Jeremiah, that you cannot even blush. That you cannot even blush. The things that are talked about today in public was never talked about. Or if they were talked about, it was by two men over a beer in a bar and not in the public arena. And it's just more and more and more. You've seen the start of it from us that grew up in the 60s. That was supposed to be liberation. That was supposed to be freedom. It started out in California. Okay? And it just spread all throughout the country. Sexual freedom. You can do whatever you want. They exchanged the truth of God. Notice what it says in verse 25 of Romans 1. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to what? Dishonor their bodies among themselves. People that think they have freedom, notice what it says, verse 25. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and what? And they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. When you are worshiping another person with your body, and that's what you're doing, when you give yourself over sexually to somebody outside of marriage, you are dishonoring your body and you are worshiping and serving the creature. You're saying to that other man, to that other woman, to that whatever, you are greater than the Creator that created me. I will worship you. I will dishonor my body with you. I will dishonor my body in public. You turn on the TV, you get a video, whatever it is, and people just dishonor their bodies with no shame. Like I said, cannot blush. You know why? Because God gave them up. That's why I said to you, this section of Scripture ought to terrify you. That God would give you up, give you over, turn you over. Like I said, it ain't like, God, I want my freedom. And God goes, oh, okay, you do whatever you feel like it. You do whatever you want to do now. God gave them up to uncleanness, to dishonor their bodies First, of the slide downhill. Secondly, the next step downhill. Pay close attention for all of you that will want to equate homosexuality and lesbianism with being Chinese or black or American Indian or some other nationality. It is not a nationality, as we're going to see in the text. The second slide down the hill, first, is uncleanness amongst men and women. Secondly, look at verse 26 and verse 27. For this reason, you want to worship and serve the creature. You want to suppress the truth. You don't want to glorify God. You don't want to be thankful for God. First of all, it says, he gives men and women over to the lust of their hearts to participate in any kind of wicked sex amongst themselves. But now the next step is this. For this reason, the second God gave them over to vile passions. Notice, vile. Vile passions. Notice. For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. An African is born an African because it is their nature. Chinese are born Chinese because it is their nature. Whites are born white because it is their nature. Notice what it said. The women left the what? The natural use for what is against nature. It is against nature. Notice. They exchanged the natural use. The point being, verse 24, about God gave them up to the uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, that's natural sex. Men and women having sex is natural. It is not right outside of marriage, but sex between men and women is natural. Homosexuality and lesbianism is not natural. It is against nature. You don't see two rabbits, two monkeys, two zebras, nor two horses fornicating with each other. It's so funny that all of a sudden, those that would believe in evolution when it comes to homosexuality and lesbianism, then it changes somehow. How come the animals don't have sex among themselves? The same male and male and female and female. You would have never evolved into the wicked person you are now if that was the case. It is against nature. And today it is embraced. Those two sins at one time, decades ago, were not even spoken of in public. Was not even spoken of at all. Hardly at all. And now it's celebrated. Matter of fact, if you say now that it's bad, as I'm saying it's sin, I'm saying it's against nature, because God himself, who created men and women, and that is the very proof that this country is under judgment, because now we accept that which is against nature. It's accepted. And those that don't accept it, you are looked at as the freak. That which is against nature. Paul mentions different sins up to this point, but this is the first sin that Paul mentions that is specific and specific judgment. Notice what it says in verse 27. He's spoken about sin, suppressing the truth, not glorifying God, not being thankful, right? Foolish hearts darkened, professing to be wise, changing the glory of the incorruptible God. But now, take heed. This is the first sin that God says, there's a judgment with this sin. Look at verse 27. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another. You're attracted to that other man, to that other woman, women with women and men with men, because of the lust for one another. You burned in your lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful. And notice, first time Paul speaks of judgment about a specific sin. And receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, don't take that verse and say, see, that's a judgment on AIDS. I mean, age is a judgment on homosexuality, because age was not known at that time when Paul wrote that. And that's not to say that age is not a judgment on homosexuality, but you can't take a verse written 2,000 years ago and say that is the penalty on that particular sin. You can say, those that commit those acts, that there is very very specific judgments that come upon them. But you cannot take that text and say, see, there's the AIDS virus right there. Notice, God gave them up. They were given over to that sin. They were not born that way. How people say, oh, well, he was born that way, she was born that way. They were born sinners like the rest of us who were born sinners. And God has given them up. Notice the downhill slide. First, uncleanness. Secondly, lesbianism and homosexuality. And now verse 28. God gave them over to a depraved mind. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Like I said, if these verses do not scare you, it's because you have no fear of God. It's because you have no fear of God. And if you have the fear of God that those verses scare you, then you ought to be that much more thankful for His grace. Because every one of us, before we became a child of God, we was on our way to be given over, to be given up. And notice what it says. Given over to a depraved mind, to a debased mind. Notice, a process from a foolish mind, from darkened hearts. See, remember how it started off? The judgment, the wages of sin, right? What did it say at first? They had a foolish mind. They had darkened hearts. And now notice, God gives them over to a depraved mind. The mind that says this, that good is bad and bad is good. That's where depraved mind leads to. Just like right now, I said homosexuality and lesbianism was a sin against nature. It is not natural. It is a sin. I would be hauled off today and taken to court, and not yet, but probably soon, thrown into jail for saying the things that I'm saying. I'm saying this bad thing is bad. And a depraved mind says, no, this bad thing is good. Matter of fact, it's so good, we're going to celebrate it. And those that do not celebrate it with us, they will be known as being bad. And all you're simply doing is reading the text saying, wait a second, God gave these people over to do those things. They exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. It's not against nature being the color that you are, being the nationality that you are, but it's against nature to do those things which God Himself says is not natural. That you left the natural function between men and women. And a depraved mind says good is bad and bad is good. And the reality of it is this. A depraved mind is the mind of Satan. The depraved mind is the mind of Satan that goes back to the garden. Goes back to the garden that you shall be as God. God knows that in that day that you eat of it, that you shall be as God. And that's the essence of a depraved mind. You shall be as God. You yourself shall say what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. You would even say that this glorious God that has blessed you with all these things, like a gentleman said to me the other day, I'm lucky, I'm lucky, I'm lucky, I'm lucky, I'm lucky. I said, don't you think that you're blessed? No, I think I'm lucky because there is no God. There is no God. I'm not blessed, I'm lucky. That is calling good bad. Do you not think it's God, he was good to you, that he blessed you? No. I believe that I was lucky. But yet, all the blessings that we have comes from God. Look at James 1:17. See, the depraved mind says, no, this is not true. I will not accept this. Whereas this is what I believe as children of God, where our blessings come from. James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. But the depraved mind says, no, there is no God. Or if I will assent to the fact that there may be a God, that God does not demand anything from me. Or that God I will make in my own image, whereas that verse in James says, there's no variation or shadow of turning. The same God that said, you shall not have sex outside of marriage, is the same God. The same God that said homosexuality and lesbianism is sin is the same God. But the depraved mind says, that is not true. I will not accept that. And the end of a depraved mind is this. Well, back to Romans 1, verse 32. This is the end of a depraved mind. This is the nirvana that you're reaching for, you with your depraved mind, that you said, I will not glorify God, I will not be thankful to God, I will suppress the truth. Well, God in Romans 1:32, this is what he says about those that have been given all. And who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. They not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That is where depraved mind rests in the end. Approving of every kind of wickedness that there is. The more wicked, the better. They not only practice such things, but they approve of them. They clap their hands in approval. Oh, he came out of the closet. She came out of the closet. Oh, so and so, they're having their fourth kid together and they're not married. Oh, this is wonderful. This one's been married 7 times. This one's been just fill in the blank. The end of a depraved mind that's been given over is not only do you do it, but you approve of everybody else that does it. And like I said, and you can see that in our country today. Hearty approval to the wickedness that is spoken of in this text. The more wicked, the more is it approved. Three people involved, 4 people involved, 6 people involved, an orgy, it doesn't matter. 20 people, 30 people. Fantastic. Men with men, women with women, men with men, beast, insect, it doesn't matter. The more wicked, the more ratings we can get. Let's put it up there for the hearty approval. That is what happens to a mind that has been given over. And I would say this. If that was the only news, it would seem pretty hopeless. It would seem pretty hopeless. But then again, we're talking about God. If God left the mankind that way, it would be hopeless. If it was Paul, if it was that way, Paul would be ashamed of the gospel. I would be ashamed of the gospel. If I just brought you that bad news and said, those that commit such things and give approval is worthy of death, I wouldn't have no good news to bring. But even though God has given the human race over, is not hopeless for those upon whom God sets his everlasting love. Like everyone that is gathered here, turn to Hosea. There is hope. There is hope. It's not hopeless. See, those who speak of Jesus Christ, there's a gospel. Say you find yourself in that position, that you are in uncleanness, you are dishonoring your body, you are homosexual, you are a lesbian, you have a depraved mind. I would say this, there is still mercy. There is still mercy in all that judgment that the Lord's pouring out on you, because in that judgment, His grace may come shining through. In that judgment, on the last day, the thief on the cross had been given over to a depraved mind, but yet on that day, he started that day out cursing God. Cursing Jesus Christ. That's a man with a depraved mind. He started his day off cursing Jesus Christ. That's a man with a depraved mind. But the gospel says to you today, if you would find yourself in that condition that I said, there's good news. The Lord spoke of that good news in Hosea. Hosea 11, verses 8 and 9. And Hosea is about a woman that was loved by a man dearly, and she kept going out playing the whore. Again and again and again, and the man kept forgiving her, even to the point she's sleeping around, she's whoring around, and the dude's blessing her with gifts, and she's whoring around on him. That was a woman given over to uncleanness, to a depraved mind. But yet, in the midst of all of that, in Hosea 11, verses 8 and 9, we see the gospel glistening in all of the muck and the mire. You know, that's where they find diamonds a lot of times. Down in the swamps, down in the mud, down deep. Hosea 11, verses 8 and 9. Here's God speaking. How can I give you up, Ephraim? Now we see the love and grace and mercy of God. We saw His judgment and His wrath and His anger in Romans. And in Hosea, how can I give you up, Ephraim? You fill in the blank. Harry, Bob, Sue, Mary. How can I give you up? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I set you like Zeboiim? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred. What a God we serve. That you can see wrath and terror and horror and judgment, and yet how can I give you up? How can I hand you over? How can I make you like Admah? How can I set you like Zeboiim? My heart churns within me. My heart turns over and over within me. My sympathy is stirred. Don't think that God is this wicked monster. God is a loving God, a God full of grace and mercy. If you would simply have it, if you would simply come with your debased mind, with your foolishness, with your darkened heart, and stop professing to be wise, and do what the Bible says, to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Change your mind. Change that depraved mind that thinks that you can save yourself, that somehow that you're God. Repent of that sin. Repent of thinking that you're good. God says you're turned over. That's one of the reasons you think you're good. And for those of us who know the Lord, I would remind us that we must remember as John Newton remembered. John Newton had been a slave trader. He had become a slave of slaves. And he was once asked of a person that someone regarded as hopeless. You know those people that you think is hopeless, that you're praying 10, 20, 30, 40 years? Those people that think that that you think are hopeless, those people you look at and you say, they must be turned over. I would remind you what John Newton said, and this is what he said. I have never despaired for any man since God saved me. I have never despaired of any man since God saved me. He can save you no matter how wicked you are, no matter where you find yourself in Romans 1. Because in actuality, Paul is describing every man and woman apart from Christ. And it's just, where are you on that slippery slope? But in the end, you still wind up in hell. You might not be as wicked as this person or as wicked as that person, but in God's eyes, one sin, one time, you're wicked. And what happens a lot of time, especially, and I'm going to warn the body of Christ, especially when you hear a sermon about homosexuality and lesbianism, somehow you set that sin apart, that is the sin of sins. That somehow that's worse than gossip. And gossip is in chapter 1 of Romans also. I would remind everybody in the body of Christ, I will end with this, but for the grace of God, so goeth I. Never ever should you point your finger at others and say, not me. If it's not you, it's only because of the grace of God, from whom all the good gifts come down from the Father of lights. And if you, God has stopped short somewhere along the line, He didn't permit you to get past uncleanness and progress into lesbianism and homosexuality and then progress into a depraved mind. It's only because of His grace. And if any one of you would hear this message today that is not saved, God is permitting you to hear this message. You see His mercy in the very fact that you are able to hear this message today. I would beg with you and plead with you to come to God today for forgiveness of sins, and you would start renewing your mind after you repent and believe. And to the body of Christ, let us be that much more thankful to our Father that He did not turn us over. Amen.